Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Something that unifies all of mankind is the most basic need of peace in our minds and in our souls. But how elusive it is, despite our many efforts to attain it. Some seek to find it outside of themselves in experiences, pleasures, relationships, and the things that money can buy. Others look within. They believe that peace is inside there somewhere, so they try to empty themselves of everything that bothers them, and they try to imagine that everything is okay. They try out new philosophies that promise them some inner enlightenment, and sadly, some try to escape the turmoil through drug-induced states. Tragically, there are those who give up in disillusionment and in despair altogether. The problem is a simple one. They're all looking in the wrong places. They need to look to a person, and there is only one peace giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only promises peace, peace that the world cannot give, but he did what was required to attain it for us. The Bible says that he made peace through the blood of his cross. No, we will never know true peace until the underlying sin problem is taken care of, until we are released from its bondage. Today, evangelist Mr. Bill Seal looks at the topic of peace and how it can be found. Are you at peace? Do you know that all is well for eternity? If not, we trust that the message today will show you where peace is truly found.
John 14, and we're going to read verse number 27. If you have a Bible that has red letter edition, this verse is in red letters. Jesus is speaking. That's what the red letters mean. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as, or not like the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith," or that means being cleared of all charges, being made right with God by faith, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse number 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time," or just at the right time, "Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely or hardly for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth," or God demonstrates, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath," or judgment, "through him. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 19. "To wit," or "and so, God was in Christ," or "God was through Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses," or their sins, "unto them." The last verse of the chapter. "For he," that is God, "hath made him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. One more reading, again to the right, Colossians, the first chapter, and verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in the Lord Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. I'm sure that it's nothing new for anyone here if you've listened to the news or watched the news, and you realize all around the world there's trouble. And it seems like if there's not a war in a certain place, it seems like there's a war gonna happen. Maybe in North Korea. Maybe in the country of Iran. And the war gone on in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and there's trouble everywhere. And there are people that are running all over the world, and they are sort of called something like this. They're called peace ambassadors. And what they're trying to do is figure out a way somehow that they can bring peace to these countries that are at war. We know what that means. We know that if there's peace, then they won't fight anymore. They'll sort of leave each other alone. And not only do people want peace in the world, and they want peace in the United States and North America and Latin America, they want peace there, but they want peace here. They're looking for inner peace. It's amazing to read about some of the things that these famous people are saying. They're looking for something. They're trying to find something that they can't find anywhere in the world. Not in all their money, not in all their fame, not in even all the money that they give. They can't find what they're looking for, but what they're looking for is peace. In here. Peace. Sometimes it's very hard to define. Maybe if I were to ask you, you young men and young ladies here tonight, if you've ever had, it's sort of like inside here, something's just going round and round and upside down and inside out. And you just feel this, this feeling inside, and you just wish it would settle down. And especially if you get in trouble, especially if something happens in your life, it gets worse. And you just wish, I just wish that would go away. I wish there was somehow or another that I could be at peace in here. I guess it's been just a little over 12 years ago now. I remember it very, very vividly, but we had been asked to come for some gospel meetings. And we arrived on a Tuesday night. The meetings were supposed to start on a Wednesday night because of schedules and so on. And Wednesday morning, we got a phone call about 8 o'clock in the morning. Could you please come? Well, where? Well, there's a woman, and the doctor has just left, and he has said that the woman has 2 hours to live. She wants to talk to you. Would you please come now? And so that's what we did. We never met this woman, only 27 years of age. And she was dying of cancer, and we walked into the room, and I've seen a lot of people die in my life, and I've seen a lot of very, very sick people in my life. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone who looked so dead, but was still alive. And these were her first words. She said, I have confessed my sins hundreds and hundreds of times, just like my preacher told me to do. Why don't I have any peace? She realized the clock is ticking on my life, and it's ticking down almost to the very end. I'm about to die. I'm about to go into God's great long eternity, and I am not ready. I have no peace. Help me. I want to ask you a question. If tonight were the night you were going to die, if the doctor just left your house and told you right to your face, young man, young woman calling you by name, said, I'm sorry, you've got 2 hours to live. Would you be able to face those 2 hours knowing this? I'm so glad I have peace with God. And by the way, we thank God that she got saved that day. And she lived 2 more weeks. We don't know how, but she lived 2 more weeks. And she was able to testify to all of her family what God had done in her life, in spite of the fact that she had confessed. You see, confession So many people are told that very same thing. All you have to do is confess your sins and it'll be all right between you and God. Let me present a scenario to you. Let me paint you a little picture with words. Imagine that someone came into your house, into your family, and in cold blood murdered one of your family members. And they're arrested with a smoking gun in their hand, almost. And you stand at the courtroom, and there is that person, and they have been found guilty by a jury of their peers. And the judge asks that person to stand. And that person stands, and the judge says to that person, "Do you have anything to say?" And that person says, "Your Honor, I killed that person. And Your Honor, I'm sorry." And the judge looks at that person and says, "Oh, okay. Well, then you can go." You say, "Wait, no way. Well, he confessed. He not only confessed, but he said he was sorry too. Yeah, but he needs to be punished. I mean, after all, look at the crime he committed. Well, then why is it that we think if we confess to God that that's good enough? No, no, no. There's consequence with sin. Consequence with sin. And my very first little point is this. There is a problem when it comes to the issue of peace. And that problem is personal. And that problem is between you and God. And that problem is your sin. Not just sin at large. Not just sin in general. But your sin. Isaiah 59, verse number 2. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Yes, it is your God, and you will meet him someday, but it is also your sins, and your sins have separated between you and God. A separation that cannot be bridged by anything you can do, by anything any preacher or pope or rabbi or priest or minister, no matter who it may be, no one can do anything to bring God and man together apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That's the problem that every one of us faces. The problem isn't that he's good and he's bad. The problem isn't, well, they don't go to church. The problem isn't that they're not religious. That's not the problem. And you and I must face that problem or we will never ever be saved. You must look in the mirror of God's word, and understand what God says. Romans chapter 3 says this very clearly, and we read it in chapter 5. All have sinned. Well, I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up a few times, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as someone in my neighborhood. I'm not as bad as someone at work. It makes no difference. That's what the verse says in verse number 22. There is no difference. If a man committed one murder, what would you call him? A murderer, wouldn't you? If a man committed 100 murders, what would you call him? A murderer. The label is the same. 1, 100, 1,000 makes no difference. There is no difference. All have sinned, and that's the problem that you and I face. The problem that must be overcome, and also the problem when it is overcome answers everything to God, and it's the basis on which you can have, yes, you can have tonight peace with God. So it is that people pursue it. They pursue peace. And I want you to think just briefly that not only does man pursue peace, but God pursues peace. That means he goes after it. There are lots of churches all over the country in this little town in which I live. There is a street called Church Street. I bet you can guess why. Because there's a whole bunch, I didn't count them, but there's lots and lots of churches. And they're huge. And if you were to drive down the street on a Sunday morning, their parking lots are full and people go into those churches. Why do people go to church? Why are so many people going to church? And if you were to ask them, because I have, well, I like to go to church because it, you know, had a rough week and I didn't do so good. And when I go to church, you know, it just makes me feel so good. You know, I go in there and it's beautiful, and the stained glass windows, and the music, and the preacher says such nice things. It makes me feel good. And so I go to church because I came to church not feeling good, and I want to feel good. I'm sorry, folks, but we're not here to make you feel good. And Jesus didn't come into the world to make you feel good. In fact, Jesus says when it comes to the message of the gospel, it is an offense. People are offended by the message. Why? Because it's the truth. But men and women, they're longing for peace. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, and he says that that time will come when they'll say, peace, peace, and there is no peace. And God says there is no peace to the wicked, to those who have sinned. No peace, there can't be peace. We're alienated. We're enemies in our minds by wicked works. Well, you know, if I say some more prayers, if I really pray sincerely, if I read the Bible, if I join that church, well, then I'll feel better. John chapter 3 verse 19 says this, whatsoever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Guilty before God. I remember a preacher talking, and he was being very honest, and he said he had gotten a ticket one time. He didn't tell me exactly why or what it was for, but he got this ticket. And down at the bottom of the ticket, there were two places to sign. And he knew exactly what he had done. He was aware of what he had done. But he said, you know, it took me days. It took me days because what I had to do was pick up my pen and sign my name beside one of two spots. On one side it said guilty. The other side it said not guilty. I had to sign by one of them. And I didn't want to put my name beside that word. But he was guilty. And whether you want to put your name beside that word or not, you are guilty. And I'm guilty before a holy God who knows all things. And you must face that guilt. But not only does man pursue peace, but God does. There's a poem, and I couldn't begin to quote it, and if I did, there's not enough time to quote it. It's called The Hound of Heaven. Basically, the premise of the poem is this, that no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter how hard we try to hide, God is after us. He's after us. It was God, 2 Corinthians 5, God through Christ. It was the initiative. It was the plan of God to make sure he could do something so that you would have peace. He knew you couldn't do anything and I couldn't do anything for ourselves. And so he took the initiative. He made the plan and he brought it all together and he runs after you tonight. Maybe sometimes at night inside of here, there's just something besides that other feeling. There's something inside there. It's almost like someone's just knocking there saying, I want to come in. Not literally to this heart, but there's someone there and you realize someone wants my attention. Someone wants me. Someone's after me. A long time ago, there was a man who was raised in a Christian home. He didn't want to hear the gospel. And he got a little bit older. He didn't go to meetings anymore, but every time he would go home, his dear mother, she would speak to him about his soul. And finally, one day, he said, Mother, he said, I don't want you to talk to me anymore about my soul. Don't, because if you do, I'll leave. She says, as long as there's breath in my body, I have to speak to you about your soul. I love you. I don't want you to die in your sins. I want you to be in heaven like I will be when I die. And so the next time that she spoke to him about his soul, he was as good as his word, and he left. This was a long time ago. He got a job to be a coach driver. In other words, he had the horses and the coach for a wealthy individual, and he was so glad. I'm away from mom. I don't have to hear the gospel anymore. I'm done with that. I don't want to hear that. And so shortly after he got to his place where he had his new job, a message came from one of the servants and said, the master would like you to bring the carriage around to the front gate. He wants to take a ride with you. And this man thought, okay, maybe he wants to see if I drive okay. All these horses and this expensive coach. So he brought it around to the front, and the master of the manor came out, and instead of getting inside the coach, the man climbed right up beside him. He thought, oh, this is bizarre. He really wants to watch me close. And away they go. And he had hardly got out of the circle drive, out onto the lane near the village where this beautiful house was. He had hardly got his way out there when the master, the man who was his employer, he turned to him and he said, young man, are you saved? And he says, I almost fell off the carriage. I had run hundreds of miles away from my mother who talked to me about my soul. And the very first thing my new employer said to me was the very same thing that my mother said to me. Are you saved? And it affected him so much that he was sick in bed for 3 days. And during those 3 days, God worked at him. And when he got out of that bed of sickness, he got out as a saved man. You may think you can run away from God, but you can't hide from him. And he's after you.
why he loves you. That's why. He loves you so much. He wants to save you.
We have read about the person of peace. God's salvation is all about a person. And the Lord Jesus said, I know he was speaking to his disciples in John 14, but he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives. I want to give you something that's from heaven. I want to give you something that I can give you and no one else but I can give you. And that's peace. And where was he going even as he said those words? He was going to a cross. You know, sometimes when it comes to peace in the world, oftentimes there are wars and there's a great price that is paid, but sometimes all it is a time when the two parties get together and they sign a peace treaty. The leader of each of those two sides, they sign a peace treaty and there's peace. But let me tell you for just a moment as I close about the price to bring you peace. We read from 2 Corinthians 5 that it was God that through Christ was trying to bring into a place of restoration man that had fallen, man that was at a distance from God because of his sin. And in order for God to restore that, in order for man to be able to be with God again, and that would be for man to be in heaven, something had to happen. And what do we read in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5? God made him to be sin. Wait a second, this is my sin we're talking about. Yes, it is. And it is your sin. But God made him to be sin for us so that we could be made righteous. That means with no sin. Do you mean to say that I could go away from this meeting tonight with no sin? Well, if you've got any sin, you can't go to heaven. So either all your sins have to go or there's nothing. There's a well-known verse in Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to the words. Listen carefully. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment to bring me peace was on him, and with his stripes we're healed. Colossians chapter 1, we read these words. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, my Savior had to give his life at a cross in order that my sins might be washed away, in order that your sins might be washed away. And he did it. And there's nothing left for you to do. All he wants you to do is to receive what he has done. And what does he say? Peace! And that's what he offers you. My peace I give. I give unto you. Might you trust him and know the joy of peace with God.
What wonderful verses. The punishment to bring us peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. My peace, said the Lord Jesus, I give unto you. These are not empty promises. It is only by trusting Christ as Savior that you will become a believer in Christ and know the peace of sins forgiven. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.